It's got a death curse.
Soon, all of you will be like me. And then who will lock you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
I feel like an idiot.
You can't chicken out now.
Why am I doing this?
Because you're the best babe we got around here, honey. Come on, it'll be fun.
Fun.
I kind of got second thoughts about this. I kind of feel bad about doing this. What are you talking about? It's a joke. What the hell could happen? Fuck around and find out.
Famous that. Last word.
Yep.
Anyone else had seen that, wouldn't you have just backed the fuck away from a corpse on the bed? Instead, he's just twirling over the corpse, which is kind of weird.
It's just all my best friends in the fucking
Doc,
world.
What do we have in common?
Shit.
You and me and Mitchie and the guys? Doc, we heard it.
But there is a connection to the original one we're going to watch tonight, to Die Hard.
Somebody help me, bleeding, you bastards! Help!
Oh, hey, Jamie Lee Curtis, your friend's dead. I don't believe you! Yeah, you better check it out. Is this your friend? Oh my god, she's dead!
Why?
Why did anybody kill me?
And she was like just biting like hell. And like she'd kick him, she'd bite him and stuff. And just, she basically is not going to let him get to her. I just love the fight in her.
We are gonna die unless we get some help! But I don't know who to trust anymore.
Hey, get this shit. Three out of the five of us had never seen it. Three of us just watched it for the first time tonight.
Who's the other assholes that never seen it? That's what I need to know right now. Mr. McPherson, last time never seen it. Like, oh, I've never seen Sleepaway Camp.
Maggie, I wish to hell they'd put a radio on that train. What if one of those kids got drunk and fell off?
Yeah, has anybody here seen Jamie Lee Curtis in Terror Train? Welcome back to the Horror 101 Podcast. This is your host, Cash Wampum, hoping you had a great Christmas. We offer you our 141st episode being released on this last day of 2023. We're going back to 1980 on this show. There are five movies that made Jamie Lee Curtis one of the most famous scream queens ever. We've already covered three of them here on this podcast. Tonight, we bring you another one of those. Since this show is coming out on New Year's Eve and the setting of this film is also on the same occasion, we're giving the Horror 101 treatment to Roger Spottiswood's Terror Train.
What knocked?
Nick. Nick, he's the first one here.
I know, I was like, what alternate fucking universe?
This is unusual. How are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
Brian Stewart. Now I know this is bizarro podcasting. Nick gets here first, followed by Brian Stewart.
How goes it, everyone?
Thank you.
Please enter with your large-ass coffee. Look at the size of that thing.
Bring my hand to me, you freaking...
Oh, no, did you get a collar?
No sleep.
Can I get a collar?
Thank you very kindly.
You're welcome. It's hot as mother.
Hot as mother.
Hot as mother.
And there's a good chance that you and I are the only ones who have seen the film that we're doing tonight.
Is it TT?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. This show will be coming out because, as you all know, our shows come out the last day of the month. That's just what we've done.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, when did that start, by the way?
It's been years.
Yeah.
So this is actually going to come out on New Year's Eve.
That's right. And that's kind of why I chose this film, because it's set during the winter. Is it? And I don't expect high scores, but it's got some notoriety. It's got some notoriety.
It does. I mean, the cast alone.
Yeah. Has anybody here seen Jamie Lee Curtis in Terror Train?
No.
That's it. I have not seen it.
I mean,
wow.
I've seen the fall.
So 40% of us have seen it, right? And it's actually a good film. And well, this and everybody, like Jamie Lee Curtis was the Scream Queen, right?
Yeah.
And this was one of five movies that did that, because she makes Halloween in 78, and then it comes out and it's kind of lackluster, and then they re-release it a few months later, and all the critics were like, actually this is a good film, you gotta watch this, like it's not what you think, it's
Halloween.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It's a good film, you gotta go see it. And it went boom.
Yeah.
It went boom. So they're like, well, who's headlining this? Jamie Lee Curtis. Everybody scrambled for her to do a horror film. Everybody scrambled for her to do a horror film. So in 1980 she did three. She did Prom Night, which I'm not a big fan of. She did The Fog, which I am a big fan of. John Carpenter again. Yep. And she did this one, Terror Train. And then shortly after that, I don't know if she did Road Games before. No, Road Games...
it's afterwards, like 81, isn't it?
Well, Halloween 2 was 81. And it was after Halloween 2, then she started breaking away from horror after Halloween 2.
Well, that was the line in Scream, right? She didn't show her tits until she went legit. It's talking about Trading Places.
Right.
You know,
right, so, with yeah. Dan Aykroyd.
Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Who she still maintains is the best kisser she's ever kissed on screen. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis. Dixon? Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Back to Terror Train. Terror Train, you haven't seen it.
Nope.
You haven't seen it.
I've seen it.
You haven't seen it. You're certain of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those very popular in the late 70s, early 80s. Some, you know, like kids do something wrong to someone. They've just, and something stupid happens and they forget about it until their past
catches up to them.
What's that?
Scream, like I Know What You Did Last Summer type of thing.
Yeah,
kind of like that, yeah. But like Splatter University and Return to Horror High and all those fucking films,
fucking
The Redeemer and all those movies. Yeah. Like kids did something stupid and then a few years later it catches up to them.
When was the last time you watched it?
Terror Train.
Yeah.
I think I watched it with Horky a couple of years ago. Actually,
did you see the remake
of Terror Train?
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was
one of those free services, like free streaming services.
Like movies.
Oh, are you certain they remade Terror Train?
Terror Train a couple years ago.
Yeah, fuck that noise. Come on. They remade Terror Train? Yeah. Seriously?
And there's a sequel to it, Terror Train 2.
Anyone?
Fuck that noise.
The only person who's in it, if you ever watched Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Guy played Mutt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. But there is a connection to the original one we're going to watch tonight, to Die Hard. So let's see if Helen picks that up.
Is it Bonnie Bedelia?
No.
Is it
Willie Matherton?
There's a connection to Die Hard. You remember what I'm talking about.
You hit a hostile takeover. You grab us for some green mail, but you didn't expect some poison pill was going to be running around in the building. Am I right? Hans. Bobby. I'm your white knight.
Ellis. These people are going to kill you. Tell them you don't know me. John, how can you say that after all these years?
With a gun to my head.
And I like, the last thing you see of him is him drinking that fucking warm fucking Coke with no ice in it. But we really must go on a Terror Train. So this show is going to come out last day of the year. So it basically, this is a New Year's Eve show. We can do New Year's Evil, but that's a fucking shitty movie.
Yeah.
We're not doing it.
It's one of those films that, if you're really into horror and you might not have seen it, you'll recognize the mask.
Yes.
Because it looks like Leonard Maltin.
Yeah, and there's a few masks, actually.
Yes, but the poster.
Yeah.
You know who the magician is in this, right?
David Copperfield.
David Copperfield.
Yeah. There's a magician?
Yeah, there's magic.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, is this a child's birthday party?
No.
By the way,
no.
There are a lot of magicians who would say that David Copperfield is not a magician.
Okay.
He's an illusionist.
The fuck.
He sucks.
Okay, so let's watch Terror Train. Okay. Do you want to hit the light? Somebody hit the lights
before we watch it.
We'll watch this and discuss, okay?
Terror Train.
And everybody take off your mask.
Hey, take it easy, man. What are you doing?
Oh my God! Stay with your date. I don't want to get back on that track.
Right here!
No, no,
What have you done?
Help! Please!
Nice gag, Steve.
Somebody help me! Help!
You'll die. This temple, you'll die.
No!
You'll die.
Come on, Mo! Come on!
Mo!
For the students aboard, it's going to be the one party to end them all.
They're always walking out of my parties, but this time, you can't.
My last big college party.
It's a joke. Goddamn practical joke.
Train.
I don't want to get back on that.
So, yeah, this show's coming out New Year's Eve, and the movie begins and apparently ends on New Year's Eve, right? It's a New Year's Eve party. Start at the beginning, noon, what's happening?
No, it's a frat party on a beach. It's New Year's Eve. And I guess some fraternity boys wanting to get in, or potential fraternity...
The pledges.
The pledges, yeah.
Wearing their little stupid hats.
Yeah, little beanies. Basically, the objective is to get laid that night so they can be part of the fraternity.
Can you figure this one out, Ed? I mean, now this guy's got some luck, huh?
Women are strange, Doctor. Very strange.
Right, Ed.
Sensitive. He's probably very sensitive. Chicks go for the sensitive fellows, you know.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind going in your place.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you, you devil? You want him to fill in for you, huh?
Oh, Francis, this is true love, old man.
Touché, Jackson. Look, Elaine is nice. Confused, but nice. Hey, there she goes. Now, what do you say, huh? Huh? You trust me? Okay.
We're going to take good care of you. Come on.
Let's go.
They use Jamie Lee Curtis to set up this Kenny guy, right? To you could think he's going to get laid, and he's all freaking meek and shit like that. So they go up and...
Mitchie!
You look adorable.
I feel like an idiot.
You can't chicken out now.
Why am I doing this?
Because you're the best babe we got around here, honey. Come on, it'll be fun.
Fun.
And you got to tell something's wrong where everybody's like, come on in here, sex awaits you. It's like, this does not happen.
No.
This does not happen kind of deal. It's like, but she, you know, I've kind of, and even after, she's, I kind of got second thoughts about this. I kind of feel bad about doing this. Ah, what are you talking about? It's a joke. What the hell could happen? Fuck around and find out.
Famous last words.
Yep.
Elena.
Hello, Kenny. Don't be shy. This is my first time, too.
You can clearly see that this is an inanimate object in bed, but you know, he goes for it. You
well,
know, the lighting's kind of fucked up.
And the shear is over top. You can't see. There's got, like, that drapery that's going over.
Kiss me, nude.
Kiss me.
Oh, okay.
If I can't see you first, you're not kidding.
Kiss me, Kenny. Kiss me.
He grabbed an arm and it fell off, right? Wasn't that it? He grabbed, and then the
whole thing just basically
toppled. Yeah, and then everybody busts in to laugh at him, and he's like, "What the fuck is this?"
With a rib splitter too.
Now, did Jamie Lee Curtis know that it was a cadaver in there, or did she?
No,
think
no, she no, because when she figured out, she thought maybe it was a dummy or something.
Yeah,
as soon as, as soon as she looked and saw it was
what it was.
At the same time, everybody's busting in to laugh at him. She's horrified by what the hell's going on, and then they all watch him fucking go nuts, and that's the end of that shit. You know, I was like, holy, yeah, this guy ain't right.
Anyone else had seen that? Wouldn't you have just backed the fuck away from a corpse on the bed? Instead, he's just twirling over the corpse, which is kind of weird.
Well, he got caught in the thing. He's trying to, so he his arms got caught in the fucking sheer drapery and shit.
To me, it looked like kind of like an autistic fit.
I like to propose a toast.
Ridiculous! Oh, yes. That's not toast, my good man.
Shut up.
It's a real honor hosting with you guys. I mean that.
Hey, same here.
My last big college party. But it's gonna be the best! Hey, four really great years.
So 3 years later, and all of a sudden they're seniors and they're graduating at this New Year's Eve party on a train.
Yeah.
And everybody's dressed up. It's like almost like a Halloween party.
Masquerade.
Only with snow.
Mr. Conductor!
Yeah.
Did you say all the words? That's ridiculous! They can't be bored. I haven't even started.
The mask.
I mean, I know it's a Groucho Marx mask, but it looks more like Leonard Maltin.
It may look like more like Gene Shalit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Gene Shalit. That's what.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Come on, baby. Open your eyes. Come on. Look at me. Just my luck. She's a lesbian. Wait a sec. I've got an idea. Let's play charades, and my word will be orgy. Wait. I think she sprung a leak. Either that, or she's kissing me.
So Jamie Lee Curtis and her boyfriend, everybody, it's a senior year, like big party, everybody's going away, blah, 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 and then Buddy and the, what's his name?
Shalit?
Gene Shalit. The Gene Shalit mask, who's obviously a big practical joker, they established that.
His shtick is definitely Groucho Marx that whole time.
Oh, yeah.
He has a cigar and everything.
Yeah.
And I like, he's got a sword through him, and everybody's like, oh, what a great bit. That's lovely. I love that. And sure enough, somebody stabbed the motherfucker. He's dying.
And then he gets fucking rolled under the train.
Oh, that was great when they just kind of like, crunch. You see him right after they move the body, so all you see was him resting on the, like, parallel on the track. Like, yep. Ooh.
And then
like,
you just hear the one crunch.
You like, and the arms up. So all you see the hat and you see the whole body like parallel with the track. Like, so you know when that train moves, motherfucker's gonna be split down the center of them.
You hope he died from the stop.
You know, you're like, oh shit, it's gonna suck. So when the train does move, the hat goes crunch and you see the arm go crunch, and that's all you need. That's all you need. That was, I enjoyed that actually. That was, less is more on that, right? All you need is the position of the body on the track going, ooh, yeah, that's gonna suck for this cadaver.
Talk about being in a jam.
And Brian Stewart's like, someone's gonna find that in the morning. Frozen fucking cut in half mess.
As good as this movie is, there is padding issues.
Yeah, you know, I'll give, the first, besides the beginning setup, okay, like the film tees you up for what's to come very well,
yeah.
At least in 1980 standards. But then the next 40 minutes is, besides the guy getting pushed on the tracks and that image in your mind, the first 40 minutes is pretty slow. Everybody's partying and people talking about futures and shit like that. I mean, we don't want to hear about this. We don't want Buddy getting caught with some chick whose pants are up to her neck. We don't want any of that. We want people dying. And then when that starts happening, it's like, okay, here we go. The pacing gets better and better and better until the end.
It does.
Hey, host lounge for seniors only.
Hey, come on, seniors only. We are going to be remembered forever for this moment.
Happy Hog Night, children.
Hog Night?
Yes. Hog Night, that's right.
That's what they used to call it. Big bonfire.
And all the pledges had to get laid.
It's true. They had to abolish it. Something happened one year and they had to kick a whole bunch of guys out of school.
Well, almost kicked out. Christ, did we do that?
You're the guys?
Oh, no, it wasn't us. It must have been somebody else.
Yeah.
I have to say, this is the first time I watched this film. This is probably like the fourth or fifth times I've seen this film, and this is the first time I recognized that it was Ellis from Die Hard. I never put he was younger, he's got no facial hair. Now that I'm like, that's him.
And
yeah,
just as much of an ass.
And always big dick. Yeah.
He's just not on coke in this.
No. He was big dick.
Look. It was supposed to be a simple joke, and it sort of got out of control one year, that's all. Just forget about it.
You want to know what really happened?
Doc, he's drunk.
We were freshmen. All right, it's Christmas vacation, and I got a job at the medical center, practically a janitor. So, I go into this lab one night, it's unlocked, and there's this lady there, poor soul, who'd just fallen apart.
Yeah, literally.
Now, I promised these dorks I was going to come up with something truly special.
Yeah, really special. Put a kid in the hospital. Oh, I'm sorry, did I ruin your punchline?
You tell them. You were there, remember?
Sucks to you. Hey, come on. It's New Year's, let's be happy! I want you to let these poor children go.
Okay, children, run along. Have a good time. Leave the women here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the booze, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
So I look at the beginning of the party where they're hinting at their past indiscretions there. It's like, yeah, we put a kid in the hospital. That's a real funny kind of deal.
Oh, where she walks in.
Yeah, we put it, and then all of a sudden, the ice is broken again. It's like, oh, maybe she's not feeling too bad about it kind of deal. Maybe she deserves what's coming to her. Maybe.
How you doing, Eduardo?
Jesus.
Hey, Ed. That number at the station? With the sword? Better than Doc could have done. Super fantastic, man.
Hey, Ed. Want a drink?
So who's the first one to bite it on the train?
On the train?
The dude
in the lizard costume.
The
guy in the shallot mask.
No. Well, killed by the guy in the shallot mask, but the guy in the lizard lizard suit got whacked in the toilet.
In the shitter.
Yeah.
Here we go, Eduardo. How's this? Hey, take it easy, man. What are you doing? Oh my God! No! No! No!
But yeah, after head into the mirror
mm-hmm.
and the door is locked, there is a lot of waiting for somebody to discover what's on the other side of that door. And even after that discovery, you have really long conductor searches before we get to our next kill. Well, it's probably a good half hour between that head through the mirror and the next kill.
You've got magic shows.
Yeah.
You've got near misses with the setup of infidelities.
Yeah.
And slow dancing.
Hey, where is everybody?
Watching a magician.
Well, where the hell are Jackson and Ed?
I don't know.
Okay, wait a minute. We didn't hire a magician.
Well, maybe somebody else had a good idea for a change, hmm?
I want to see what he does.
Mwah! Isn't she adorable?
Magic. It should have been Doug Henning. That would have been way more fun.
David Copperfield, a very
God,
young...
God, he was fucking terrible in this.
Doug Henning would have been a better
he
actor.
He was fucking terrible in this.
Who, Copperfield?
Yeah.
What do you mean he was terrible? He did his magic well.
No, that's why his acting.
It was
fucking...
He was out-acted by his own shirt collar.
Yeah, well, he's out-acted by that fucking rose he pulls up and he's fucking...
Yeah, but right after that, she's like, she's all transfixed by this. You do this for everyone? And then he's like, no, and he calls her name.
Do you do this for all your fans?
No, this is my first time, Elena. After the next show.
I do, again, a little bit more misdirection when he presents the rose and she's all transfixed by it and he calls her by her name and then disappears. So, we're thinking, how does he know her name? And then the conductor comes in, somebody comes in and breaks her spell and she looks around. He's gone. Like, mysteriously vanished. Like, vanished. He's like, he didn't go that way, didn't go this way. Still not there.
There's a boy dead back there. He's in the sleeper toilet. He must have. I don't know what happened. I just don't know.
No doubt in your mind.
Oh, he's dead, all right. Never saw anybody so dead as that.
I got to sit down, Charlie, for a minute.
So the conductor finds the body of the lizard dude. Oh, it's like, oh, man. Tells the brakeman, like, yeah, I hate to throw you into this mix, but you got to come see this. Somebody's dead.
Here's the thing. Like, he checked for a pulse and had blood on his hand. Mm-hmm. And then later he comes back, well, maybe I imagined the blood on my hands.
Really?
What the hell? There was blood there before. I could have sworn it. Something's happened. Some kind of practical joke.
He kept saying they were med students. Yes. It was a prank, right? Med students, prank. It that kind of made sense, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, somebody's coming out of this drunken stupor. Here's this empty bottle of whatever the fuck. It's like, okay, well, this guy's drunk. Obviously, you made a mistake. Let's get on with the night. Mm-hmm. So the killer was buying themselves a little bit of time before... Alarm!
Also, though, if you're going to pull a prank... Don't fuck with the dude that controls the train.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in here all this time? Were you sick? He gets, you know, sick.
I guess so.
Well, look, folks. He's a walking and a talking. Weighs a ton. At least that's what his girlfriend says. I mean, you know what I mean. Oh, he'll be all right. I'll take care of him. Easy does it. Right, Jack?
So Mitchie, so we know the killer's now in the lizard suit, right? The Jean Shalit mask is gone.
What?
And so it's like, oh, why don't you take off your fins? And he just happens to have a severed hand in that glove.
Well, because the guy was black, the guy was black that he killed in the lizard. So we had to kind of show that it was his hand. And when she saw it, and then it was just the hand.
Where's the rest of the corpse?
Where are the other corpses that he had?
Well, you know what they say. Cold hands, warm heart.
I know, but where's Mitchie's corpse?
Well, it's still in bed, because the conductor finds the shoe and then looks in and finds her throat slashed. And it's like, oh, hey, Jamie Lee Curtis, your friend's dead. I don't believe you. Yeah, you better check it out. Is this your friend? Oh, my God, she's dead. Why
did anybody kill me?
God, Mitchie.
We're gonna try a little mental telepathy. First, you're gonna cover me with a cloth so I can't see you. Mm-hmm. Then, hold up as many fingers as you want behind my head. On my command,
hey, you
pull
see
away
Mitchie?
The cloth, and I'll be holding up the exact same number of
fingers. I don't know, she's around somewhere.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, cover me up.
Hey, why do you stay under there?
Can anybody make him disappear?
And that's another brilliant part of this is like Moe's there with Doc and they're talking during the magic show, and during the magic show you don't even see what happens to Moe. You don't like
no.
we don't know.
No.
Was he stabbed? Must have been some sort of
stabbed because you see he's got gouges in
on it. Yeah,
he
like
a hole in his neck,
but
too.
So in front of everybody during a magic show
something will happen.
He was assaulted horribly, you know, like fatally assaulted.
Ta-da!
And presto, you're dead.
Help! Please!
Nice gag,
Tom. Somebody help me! Bleeding, you bastards!
And then the doctor picks up his friend and yells, screaming, help, help, and carries them to the other end of the train. Else for more help, and then shakes him to try and wake him up. Slap the guy. That's how you revive people.
He's just hysterical.
And then Jamie Lee Curtis comes in, finds her boyfriend dead, and has to tell Buddy, who she's already doesn't like at all, that his girlfriend's dead. It's like, no, fuck you. damn you.
And he's like, where's... And she says, no, she's dead. And he starts yelling for her because he doesn't believe her. There's a lot of not believing.
Yeah. An unbeliever! Persecute! Kill the heretic!
Mitchie! Mitchie! Mitchie!
Getting out of here.
Brace yourselves, we're going to lock up!
So they stop the train, let everybody off, and then she figures out who it is. Like, listen, the people who are dead, what do we all have in common? This fucking guy that we wronged a few years ago, what if he's come back? Oh, he was into magic. It's the fucking magician. So this Kenny guy's offing us off.
It was just all my best friends in the fucking
Duck,
world.
What do we all have in common? You and me and Mitchie and the guys? Duck, we heard it.
What are you talking about?
Kenny Hampson! You're stunned with the corpse?
Well, nobody do that for a goddamn prank.
It wasn't just a prank! Doc, he was sick. I went to the hospital just afterwards. They wouldn't let me see him. They said he killed somebody before. And they said it might have been an accident, but he killed somebody.
Shit. And we're next, aren't we? Come on!
No!
Grabs her and then they isolates them both in that room. Yeah. And it's like, oh, every man for themselves. Like, what are you talking about?
He's such a dick. He's like, even in that, that scene, he's like throwing her into the fucking bunk and he's like screaming. Like, he was such a dick.
Yeah, she's like, he's gonna kill everybody and you're just gonna sit here and let it happen? We gotta warn people.
He's gonna kill everybody! We've gotta tell them!
I'm not moving. Every man for himself. Elena, don't!
Don't call me! Stop! Please!
And after she leaves, we think the killer's coming, so he locks the door, and now this is the selfish moment. He doesn't let her back in, which probably would have saved his life. Mm-hmm. Instead, he's like, nope, you made your decision, I'm in here and I'm safe. But then you see the paranoia creep in. Like, maybe I'm not safe. So he starts opening all the closet doors, like, what if he's actually already in here? Right, this is a magician, right? They're shady, they're creepy. So he's like, they could be anywhere. And that whole paranoia getting worse and worse, till he thinks, maybe he's up here with the luggage. And then he thinks he sees them under the bunk. What sells it, though, is when he goes for the bunk with the chair, he's going to swipe under the bench across the way.
No! No!
And he gets grabbed by the ankle. When he falls, he's like, no. Because he knew it. He saw it coming, right? That no is so good. I don't even know if that was scripted, but it was perfectly believable for him to say, I fortified this, I did everything right, I did what I was supposed to do, and he still goes down, and he has time to realize his mistake before he dies. And I actually really like that. I thought that was good.
Yeah, but even at the end, he thought it was a joke because he looked over and saw the nail polish.
Yeah.
Like, and the feminine hands.
But he said it was just...
And he thought it was his girlfriend. It's like, it's a fucking practical joke.
It was her hand. It was her hand. But they cut off her hand just to show it.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. He pulls it
that's
out.
That's what he's done. Yeah, that's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
That's how he did with Jack.
That's why I say thank you.
The lizard guy.
Sleight of hand.
Yeah.
It's a sleight of hand.
It's a joke. A goddamn practical joke.
And I have when they find that body and it falls and you don't see the head and they're like, what else was up here? I'm like, and they show that that's horrible.
Well, they hear
that
it rattling.
Head was so bad.
Yeah.
Please, I'm like, oh, don't show that for more than a split second because that's just, I don't know who made that head, but they did not win in a fucking Academy Award for special effects, man. That was not Tom Savini work right there.
No.
That was not, I could have made a styrofoam head that looked more like that guy than that head. It was like, who made this? Who made this? I want names. Who made this head? It's horrible.
Just take your styrofoam one that you got your hat on. Yeah, just give me some tempura paint. I'll make magic.
She stabs him with the sword. With the sword.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because she sets up the dummy. She knows that she's targeted.
Yeah.
So she's isolated in that cabin. She sets up the female dummy under the blanket. He comes in to strike the blow, and she's waiting in the closet to fucking give him one for. I liked it. I liked it. Good strategy. She should have finished the job then, but chicks will be chicks.
Well, hey. A horror film.
You know, one blow and then run. It's like, come on, man. A couple thrusts.
Well, let's see how you react in that situation.
I would not be on that kind of train.
I guess it's kind of coincides with everything, the fight, but when he was actually fighting her, is on top and choking her, and she was like just fighting like hell, and like she'd kick him, she'd bite him and stuff, and just she basically is not going to let him get to her. I just love the fight in her, and then how she like fucking kicked him.
Yeah, it was normally, you know, it's just like, oh, hands on the throat, then it's like, oh, yeah, I can't, I'm just gonna lay here and take it. Like, the actual fighting back was very good.
And Brian's, there's a happy accident moment there, because I swear it wasn't scripted, but when he's dragging her down, she hits her head on the doorknob, and I think they kept filming. Yeah. That looked like it was not scripted, but she was a pro.
That looked like an accident.
She was a champ, because it looked like she clocked her, got clocked good. And I'm like, oh shit, that was real.
That whole fight was, I mean, both sides were fucking vicious.
Yeah, it was. And I don't think he even cared that, or the killer cared that it was, that she was a woman, just because he just out for revenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Well, he already killed a chick.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I mean, like, he's beating the shit out of her, rips her fucking shirt wide open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was vicious.
It was.
And he pulled her earring out of her.
Yeah.
Paul, be your favorite scene.
Where she locked herself in the cage, and not the oversized fucking crowbar, because that's ridiculous, but the fact that he's tormenting her and knocking all of those lights out, just trying to scare the shit out of her. Like that.
Not to mention, like, with no light, she can't see the attack coming, because she's kind of, she's caged herself in, but he's got a weapon that can reach her, and if there's no light, she can't see him coming.
She can't see it, and she knows what he's doing.
She locks the lock to keep him from getting in, but then the next shot, you can see the keys for the lock are hanging right there, just inside. I thought he was going to reach out and grab the keys.
Could have been, I mean, you don't necessarily know the keys for that lock.
Well, still, it was probably shot. I thought, oh shit, they're right there.
But he can't see them. They're on her side. Yeah.
Yeah. But I kept waiting for Dorit Shue to grab them or something. But,
yeah, that would have been mine.
Yeah, I do like the and the lighting for that was good, especially the one where he's at the far end
and he's just.
And he's like, he's flooded with light and whack, and then it's like pitch black.
Even though that fucking crowbar is massive.
It's a train, man.
Who's the length of your fucking couch?
Okay, if they gotta like change a wheel or some shit, they need some massive fucking tools, man. Like, what, you're gonna fault them that for having something
big? No, I'm not faulting. It's just funny. I've never seen a crowbar that big.
It's a choo-choo. They do not do small things.
And but when like when she kicks him off the train, and they find her, like she's caked in blood.
Oh yeah,
she's caked in blood.
For a final girl fight, that was way better than honestly. I would say there are aspects of this fight that I like better than Halloween.
Oh,
well, mostly it's like hiding the things, stabbing. With, like it's mostly her running away and trying like because you know fighting back against Michael Myers not super effective. But in this, it worked out really well. Like, it was actually a struggle and not just running away from the person trying to... Like, it was thought through, like, hiding in the caves. Like, there was a bit of cat and mouse to it.
These are two films, though, where after she thinks she's off the killer, she slowly walks away.
Leaning against the wall as you do it,
She had a coat hanger, too.
She had a coat hanger, yeah.
We'll be there in about 15 minutes. Would you like a cup of coffee?
No, thanks.
Nick, your favorite scene?
Actually, it's kind of cheesy, but the part after she kicked the murderer off the train, where she was sleeping, and then suddenly you just see like the hand, and then like outside the window. Like, I don't know, just something about
that was actually
it was cool. Very fucking Lost Boys for me. Like,
it was creepy.
It was like it was watch. Creepy, but because it wasn't like trying to get in the window. It wasn't doing anything. It was just basically like, he's back.
But it comes from the top.
Yeah, like that. It was just something really just off-putting about it. It wasn't like a slow like I'm here. It's, you know, like the just the weird sideways off angle, and then I'm like, oh fuck, it just unnerved me.
To piggyback off Nick, the only thing, like, I did like it how it was framed and all that, and it did look creepy because he still had that fucking stupid mask on, which was kind of creepy. But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, wouldn't the elements have frozen him by now? No, don't think about that. Like, I'm thinking, like, I don't think about how Indiana Jones survives tethered to a submarine for 3,000 miles.
Thank you for not cluing in on that. Yes.
I'm not going to fault the movie for not killing this guy for being stuck out on a train for at least 20 minutes in the elements, right? Now, folks, I usually don't do this, but if you have not seen Terror Train 1980, okay, if you've been enjoying this up until now, I strongly suggest that you stop this podcast right now and don't come back until you've seen the movie, because the reveal at the end is so smart, I feel that I need to tell you that if we spoil this, and we are about to blow the doors off this, it will ruin the movie for you. And if you're interested in this movie, absolutely stop it and watch it and come back and reminisce with us. I'm sure you'll be glad you did. Well, she finds the magician in the cart run through by two of his swords, so it's not the magician, it's not David Copperfield, so she's got to go find somebody, right?
Magician's dead. Jesus, I don't know who it is anymore.
This like, I loved watching this film with a whole bunch of people that hadn't seen it before, because I'm like, there's a killer, there's a killer, there's a killer, there's a killer. The brilliant part about it is that, like, you see Kenny at the beginning of the film. Like, it's not like he's obscured or anything like that.
Nope.
And a lot of the times throughout the entire film, you see the assistant, and if it's him.
Yep.
You're like, fucking A. They have the balls to give you the killer the entire film.
Yeah. But the way the scene was shot, the way everything was done, is literally misdirection. Because what was in focus in the camera that we were supposed to pay attention to, what was drawing your eye, was everything but the assistant.
But the assistant is there.
It is there.
If you look,
Aunt,
just put him in a shiny red dress, and your eye's drawn to the dress. You don't really look at the face as much. You put a wig on.
The big hair,
It's mystery. It's bad.
Like I said, that was probably my favorite part about the whole thing. Is just like my brain literally went back and did a fucking Kaiser Soze
at the end of the film.
And it was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I was duped. It was there all along. It was there all along.
Samsonite.
I was way off. Well, Brian leaned over going, is this a Crying Game ending? And I tried to throw him off. I'm like, I don't think so. But he had got it. He had got it. But it took him a while.
Yeah.
It took him a while.
Kenny, I'm sorry. I never told you. I'm so sorry.
You haven't changed.
I like how he grabs her hands and won't let her go. Yeah. And then keeps pulling her towards him. Hey, what's it? You haven't fucking changed. Takes off the hat and the wig and the lipstick. How do you like me now, bitch? That's basically what I got. How do you fucking like me now? You remember me? Remember that shit you pulled
remember
on
me, Eddie?
Yep.
Yeah. Remember how do you me, like Kenny? Me now?
I saw your picture in the yearbook. I never knew you liked magic.
I watched you tonight. You liked him.
No. Kenny, you're better than he is. I'm sure you're better than he
is. I am. He didn't know how to cut a woman into pieces.
You don't have to do this. Don't have to do
this. And the best line in the film is, you're better than the magician. He's like, you're right, I am. He didn't know how to cut up a girl into pieces. What a fucking great line. He didn't know how to cut up a girl into pieces. I do. I'm like, that's so fucking great.
Kiss me, Elena. Kiss me, Kevin. Kiss me. Kiss me. Kiss me.
And the brilliant part of that is like, okay, he's finally got his final girl in his fucking hands, literally in his hands. There's nobody there to save her. She ain't going anywhere. And like, she is done. She is finished. And he's like, well, fuck, like, this all started by her saying, give me a kiss. Kiss me. So he's trying to pull it on here. Like, why don't you kiss me? Kiss me. Go ahead and kiss me. What does she do? She fucking goes in for it.
Yep.
She goes in for it and catches him off guard. And that kiss brings him right back to his hysteria back when this whole thing began. And he fucking goes nuts. And the exact same way he went nuts when they pulled that prank on him. Just in time for them to open the door and fucking kick his ass out. You guys loved him hitting that fucking snow.
We thought we were getting a splash. Yeah. We thought we were getting a splash.
Whack! And there was no, like, oh, it was him all along or anything like that. None of that. There was no closure from any of the survivors. No, nothing. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis crying or anything like that. No. It was just...
Right to credits.
The fucking train going into the distance, and you're going right to the credits. I enjoyed how the film ended. Here he is. It's Horky. How drunk are you?
Not that much. How did I miss your call? I was just in that freaking... I was eating, like, some yogurt. How did I miss your call?
Hey, legally, I must tell you, you're being recorded right now. We're podcasting. Horky, how are you this evening?
Holy loving God, I just was eating some freaking... I just watched A Fistful of Dollars. Now I'm laying on my couch again. Now that I know I'm being pre-recorded by the government, I'm like, gonna be honest. Fuck, that was good yogurt. It was cherry yogurt.
Fuck yogurt, man. We're talking about Terror Train tonight.
Are you podcasting Terror Train?
Terror Train. We just watched it. We're wrapping it up now. What are your thoughts?
Oh, come on. You guys never wiring me. You never covered Terror Train before?
Get this shit. Three out of the five of us had never seen it. Three of us just watched it for the first time tonight.
Who's the other assholes that never seen it? That's what I need to know right now. Mr. McPherson, last time, never seen it. Like, oh, I've never seen Sleepaway Camp.
What Sleepaway Camp? What
bullshit was that?
Nude had never seen it.
Standards.
Nude had never seen it.
Cheers. What?
And Brian Stewart never seen it.
Oh, come on, guys.
In fact,
guys.
I haven't
now,
seen
I'm
it.
Very
upset, fault,
and distraught. I'm so distraught.
Brian, I've been over to your house many times. You never showed me Terror Train. I blame you entirely.
You should have been here. I'm watching all the time.
Not once while I was there.
Well, you never come and visit me enough.
It gets Bixford.
But Horky, in 60 seconds or less, what's your favorite scene in Terror Train? Can you think about it?
Oh, God. You know what's really funny? When the poor conductor goes, like, that lizard guy was dead. He came here, like, there was blood and a mirror and this and that. And he comes back and goes, like, hey, I'm just drinking and smoking, man. He was like, I swear to God, that guy was dead earlier. The poor conductor's like, what the hell's going on, man? And he does find dead people everywhere. I don't know. What the weird thing is about, okay, I'm almost at 60 seconds. The reveal, actually, you can almost tell that, like, freaking David Copperfield's little, like, assistant there was a little off. And that's when he takes off the wig and he's like, yeah, I'm the guy you guys try to fucking kill back in high school university, whatever.
None of these guys figured it out until the end. Well, Brian Stewart had a crying game notion, but none of these guys figured it out until the big reveal.
Because Terror Train, it's a classic. You know what? That's what, 1980? Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Same year as The Fog.
Absolutely. Well, that's Jamie Lee Curtis when she was on a roll. Like, you know, like, she had, like, what, 1978 there was the Halloween and Halloween 2, then there's Terror Train, she did The Fog. Like, she was, like, little screen queen.
Prom Night?
Time, right? Oh, my God, Prom Night. That's Dana's favorite. DW, the almighty wife DW, is Prom Night's 1980. So that's another one from 1980 was Prom Night. That's right.
That's right.
Holy crap. She was on, like I said, she was on a roll. Couldn't stop her, like, so I don't blame her for that shit.
So, well, thank you for joining us on this podcast. We're going to let you go so we can score this film.
I'm so sorry. I was pre-recorded when you told me, so I kept swearing more. Sorry.
Take care, Horky.
Bye.
Cheers. I love you. Bye, there's Ellen. There's everybody.
Yes.
Cheers.
I love all of you.
Bye.
You can cook. You can take a shower. You can watch TV. And by God, you can hang a left if you feel like it.
New, do you want to score this film?
I'm going to give it a 7. Yeah, it was fun. I like the train setting, and you guys have gotten me hooked on the one scene kind of...
One location set up.
And I like that it took place pretty much one night. Like at the beginning.
The majority.
Majority of it. I like that, even though I was telling these guys when you're upstairs, we know that it's Kenny, but we don't know who is Kenny. You know what I mean? So,
or why is Kenny?
No, we know why.
We know where.
It kept guessing it. I, for one, did not know until the end that it was the assistant. So it was good. It was a fun film. And I enjoyed the gore. Was pretty decent. Could have been more gory, but for that, it was actually nice.
There's some one horrible decapitation and some dismemberment.
Yeah.
Some good bloodletting. You know, nothing over the top.
Excuse me. One of my girlfriends thinks her boyfriend was left back at the platform before we left.
Oh, I don't think so. Not if he came with you all. The platform was clear.
Paul B., you want to score this?
I'm going to give it a 7.
7, yes.
I like it. I mean, I don't know a lot that I saw. It's been forever since I've seen it. It's padding. There's a lot of padding in it, which kind of detracts from it. Like, I overheard, I think, Brian, when I was coming back, talking about, you know, overly long shots of the train, you know, overly long shots of down halls that you don't necessarily need, that are just there just to pad the running time. But no, I like it. I'd probably put it, I don't know, for the Jamie Lee Curtis of that time, it's kind of like at the same point as Prom Night to me. It's not terrible, not great.
I liked your show.
I remember you. Do you believe in magic? I'll have to convince you.
And Nick, you want to score this one, please?
I'm teetering back and forth between 6.5 and 7.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 7 just because it took me way longer than it should have to figure it out. And I'm actually... It's A, credit to the movie, and B, I really should have been paying closer attention. But... Because I was underestimating this movie. I didn't think it was that smart. But the first part, like, it starts off with the flashback, and then once they get to the train, there's literally a death within, like, 5-10 minutes of them arriving at the train. Just, mm-hmm. But then after that, like, the gaps...
It's like a 40-minute gap.
Because it's not the kind of slasher that's interested in a body count. Like, how do you kill these people in a group? Like, they're taking advantage of the fact that it's a costume party and all of these things. You know, it's circumstantial because, they're not going for body count. They're the ones that didn't deserve it were the one porter and the shoveler, the engine man and the shoveler.
Yeah. It's happened.
Like, the engineer and the shoveler. Yeah, like, so... Like, there's a couple... But those were... opportunistic so that, you know, they don't stop the train or turn it around. Like, it's to buy time. So, it's not just a straight-up slasher. It is fairly smart. And, all the people that die are basically ones that are directly connected to the killer.
To that fateful evening.
Exactly,
when they fucked him over and put him into a psychosis.
Yeah, like I said, the fact that, I love a good misdirection.
And this gave it to you.
Yeah, and like... Yeah, but all the important scenes were edited very well. The music was good. The cinematography was good. Like, this definitely punched above its fucking weight class.
God, it was cold out there. My feet are numb.
I told you to stay in the car.
Well, they made me get off. I mean, they had to search here.
Brian Stewart, you want to score this?
Well, I think it's a jackpot. I think it's all 7s. It was fun. bottom line, it was fun. I will say it's definitely back-ended, though. The first half is nowhere near as good as the second half. Some misdirection, a little bit of mystery, a little hint of Agatha Christie, which I'm always happy about because, you know, the thing is basically an Agatha Christie story. But I like the closed setting. There's a lot of things I like about this. There's a few really cool setup suspense pieces. The final confrontation between Jamie Lee Curtis and the killer is thrilling and exciting. It almost reminded me of, you know, T2 when they're trapped in the elevator and the knives are coming through. Some inconsistencies with shooting inside the train. Some of the cars are definitely sets because there's no movement at all. But other scenes, like where the conductor is breaking the news to Jamie Lee, they're both swaying in time to the car. And then other scenes, completely stationary. The magic act was definitely done on a real stage, not on a train, because there's no swaying motion at all during that entire performance. So they sell the illusion in some scenes. In other scenes, I'm like, eh, soundstage. Soundstage.
I've honestly, I don't think I've ever heard of a magician on a train.
Yeah, no, there'd be a lot to go wrong, especially with the swords.
The fucking swords. The
swords would be a problem. But I thought the levitating lady, would have been cool if you just see her like, yee, yee. That would have been good. But, you know, you give it a pass, though. David Copperfield is strange. I would not expect to see such a prominent person. Place.
Wasn't yeah. prominent then.
Well, he wasn't?
No.
Was it no?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Did this help put him on the map?
Mid to late 80s when he was like making the Statue of Liberty disappear.
Okay, yeah. So he wasn't a household name yet. No. That's interesting. But yeah, ultimate misdirect to put a magician in this, and also a great way to hide the killer behind the magician, where your eye is automatically drawn. So,
which is the whole point of an assistant, anyways, is to distract from other things.
Yeah, so yeah. I thought it was, it was fun. And like I said, a couple of really good scenes that were set up well for suspense. The blood looked good. Only one real kill in frame, which was, or one moment in frame, which was the not a kill, but was the note holder through the face. That's the only time, and the knife was done so quickly across the throat that otherwise everything seems
but
to be.
But even then,
after
when
effect.
The stab to the face, they're wearing the masks, you don't actually see it. So yeah, like
there's no
and
real,
even like the girl in the bunk, you know, you see the throat, the hand go around, but you don't see any like
her no gore in the moment.
No.
Yeah, so there was they had a very
the budget.
They had
that.
There was no Savini level of disembowelment or gore or amputation. A lot of amputation, but we never see it.
Yeah.
Never see anyone's hand actually get cut off. So they were working within their budget and their limit. But I thought they did it well. I thought they
severed it.
Yeah, that don't linger on that head. But I thought they covered over the areas where they couldn't do it well. I thought they smoothed it over as well as they could. So yeah, I think this is definitely a 7. Yeah, this was fun.
She's still running hot on you?
Nope. Pulled down the grade. She's really beautiful, that old engine. They don't make them like that anymore.
I'll give it a 7.5. The best part for me was watching this film, and like when you watch this with somebody that hasn't seen it, you're always ready for it. Every time the killer's on the screen, you're waiting for people going, "Hey, isn't that?" And that never happens during this film because you're waiting for it. You're like, "Hey, isn't that?" And you're like, "Oh shit, there is, oh shit," you know. But it never happens. It's just this movie had the balls to give you the killer, like right there is right there several times. Like, here's the killer. The beginning prank is kind of lame, even though it's macabre and disturbing, like setting up that dismembered corpse and stuff like that. But just seeing the guy kind of like wind up and just go kind of fruity, and then just that's it, you know, like I'm expecting like him to like set on fire or take some damage other than a psychological fuck you.
Honestly, I thought that like he was gonna get caught in the curtains, wound up hanging himself or something.
I thought there should have been a little bit more weight to that scene instead of just watching him go into like some sort of tailspin.
No, instead he's doing his best Ian Holm impression from when Ash short circuits.
Yeah, exactly. Just fucking shorting out and spinning up. Yeah. But
I'm like, was he an android the whole time?
To counter that argument, the way that they brought that psychosis back and emulated that again several years later was smart, and now it makes a little bit more sense. The special effects was so bad that, you know, I would give this movie an 8 if I didn't see that decapitated head. Imagine fucking Cash Wampum saying that. They gave me a severed head,
And because they did, which it was so bad, I detracted half a fucking point. Like, if your shit is going to be that bad, don't even put it in the movie, man.
So not on your 12 Days of Christmas list.
That's right. Yeah. I did not want that head. You know what I'm saying?
Severed head.
Having the body fall and there's no head on it and it's caked with blood, fine. No problem. But it's like, oh, we're going to see a head. Oh my god, what is that? Fucking styrofoam, man. He even looked like he had a beard on. It's like he didn't have a beard.
It would have been
better. Oh, it was so bad.
It would have been better if they just left a mask on it.
So, you know, the final fight was good. The masks were creepy. The whole side eye, the killer, like the movement of the killer and all that was cool. The fact that nobody clued in that the assistant was the killer, loved all of that. The fog over this and this over Prom Night, all three films 1980. This sits in between there, but it's closer to The Fog than it is Prom Night. Prom Night, I'm not a big fan.
But, high marks for everybody who has never seen a Jamie Lee Curtis Scream Queen film from 1980, and a perfect film for New Year's Eve, certainly.
Indeed.
A perfect film for New Year's Eve.
We're going to find you that severed head to put your new hat on.
Evil.
Which sucks, man. That'll never be a show. Never!
It's a terrible
movie. It'll never be a show.
It's a terrible, terrible, terrible movie.
Is that why you told me it was your idea? Because I said I'd never go to another one of his fucking parties.
Elena, they're always walking out of my parties. But this time, you can't.
And that's a wrap on the last Horror 101 podcast of the year, Terror Train, starring Jamie Lee Curtis from 1980. This one always seems to get swept under the Halloween carpet, so it was our pleasure to dig it out and shine a light on this slasher. The execution is smart, the gore is light, it's filmed by a legend named John Alcott. If you look up the other films he's shot, I think you'd be amazed, and he does manage to make this low-budget horror flick look fantastic. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul B, and my wife, the lovely Nude. This is Cash Wampum saying Happy New Year. We wish your 2024 the best, especially our supporting patrons who continue to make sure we can keep bringing you these Horror 101 podcasts. All the best to each and every one of you.
Yes, and
watch your titties? All right.
TT, not titties.
Well, Brian Stewart, the other day, Brian Stewart was like, so we're not doing Anna and the Apocalypse? Well, No!
We're all cowards. Coward.
He's like, Shook Hughes.
Helen, what do you want to watch?
Shook Hughes. He's like, press play right now. We'll watch it. Press play right now.
Anna and the Apocalypse. No.